Amen.
Amen. Well, super exciting to be here with you guys tonight, and appreciate the encouragement and the introduction. It was fun to hear you guys encourage each other. And yeah, you know, for those of you that don't know, I got to be part of this ministry in New Jersey from the end of 2009 until about 2018. Wow. And then Chelsea and I, my wife, we started working with this New York City part of our ministry. So we switched to the other side of the river, and we've been doing that and focusing there the last few years, which has been super fun and exciting. We were down at NYU doing a Bible talk today.
That's awesome.
Sharing with people. They were out of Columbia yesterday, and it's just, you know, it's awesome to see God working both sides of the river. But
come on.
But I'm very excited about this group of guys, and I do think that God is absolutely working to rebuild our campus ministries. And
amen.
I just think about sitting in a room of about this many guys in New Jersey campus back in like 2010 or 11 and watching wow. that group grow to almost 40 men. And I know that God looks at this circle of guys and wants to raise you all up to do great things for Him and to have a big impact and to become mighty men of
amen.
God. And that's what we're going to be talking about tonight. And the title of my lesson is The Throng of Godly Men. No, I'm just kidding.
Come on.
I'm glad I said throng.
Throng.
No, I'm talking tonight about being a mighty man of God. Because that's what God wants you to be. Not a lame man of God. That is an oxymoron, right? But to be a mighty man of God. And, you know, just off the bat, before I even get into this whole lesson, I'd have to ask, do you want to be defined as a mighty man of
yeah.
God? Like, if somebody is describing you, would you want to be defined as somebody, man, that brother, he is faithful. He is devoted to God. He is righteous. You can trust him. He has courage. You know, he's willing to do the hard things.
Amen.
He goes above and beyond average. He goes where others won't. You know, he really relies on God. You know, he's strong in his purity.
Yeah.
You know, isn't this the kind of man that you want to be?
Right.
Now, I think there's something in all of us that wants to be that mighty man of God. And God absolutely wants to help all of us become that. You know, for just a second, you could think about one brother in the church, right? It could be a brother in campus. It could be somebody in the marrieds, in the singles ministry, whatever. But think of one brother in the church that you think of when you think of a mighty man of God.
Come on.
Right? Somebody who comes to mind, man, that's a mighty man of God, that brother. You know, their character, their impact, the way that they live, who they are, their heart. And you go, man, that's a mighty man of God. Maybe you think about the kind of dad that they are, the kind of husband they are, mm-hmm. or the kind of worker they are, or the kind of servant in the kingdom that they are.
Amen.
And as you're thinking about that person, doesn't the world need more men like that?
Yeah.
Doesn't the church need more men like that? Like, what would the world be like? What would the church be like with 10 times more of that brother that you're thinking
wow.
of right now? And here's the thing is that God's call is for you to be that 10 times more of people in the church. For you guys to be 10 more, 12 more of that kind of brother that you're thinking about, that you look up to, a mighty man of God. And here's the reality is that men are struggling in our world today. You know, men are struggling. And I'll get into the fact that this is not a competition with women. But the reality is that men are struggling. Right? 40% of college students are men. And so there's a lot more women furthering their education than there are men. 60% of high school dropouts are boys. So there's 40% going to college, 60% of dropouts are men. And so you've got less men going to college and a lot more men not even making it through high school. And on average, men score lower than women do in school. Here's one that rocks my mind. 93% of prison inmates are men.
Wow.
93% of people that get incarcerated are men. Here's another. 8.6 million. There are 8.6 million single mother homes where there's only 2.6 million single father homes. That tells you that women are four times more likely to step up and stick around when a marriage fails.
Wow.
Or when a child is born out of wedlock to take care of that family. women are four times more likely to have the courage and the character to step up into that role than men are.
Yeah.
There's 18.4 million kids in the U.S. that live without a biological, step, or adoptive dad in their family or in their household. And on top of that, men are almost twice as likely as women to commit adultery in a marriage. I hear those stats and I think this world needs godly men.
Yeah.
This world needs mature men, men of character, of commitment, of faith. And when I think about, well, where are they going to come from?
Right.
The place I think has the most hope, or should have the most hope, is the church.
Yeah.
People following Jesus, because there's never been a stronger, more courageous, more faithful, more pure, more committed man than Jesus. And we said, Jesus is Lord, and I'm going to try to be like him. And so the church is the greatest hope for men like this in the world. You know, why are men so behind in all of these reasons? You know, I studied sociology in college.
Help us out.
That was a long time ago. And honestly, I feel like the answer is too complex for me to handle.
That's what we were
but
talking about.
But if I'm going to guess at some of the reasons, one is definitely just bad examples, right? We follow the example or the expectation set for us. And if this is what kids, young men are growing up seeing, this is what they're likely to imitate, right? And what do we see of men in the world? How are men most likely seen in the world today? I think a lot of ways is they're seen as passive. Men are seen as not great in school, right? We know this. We're not surprised at this, right? This is how we see them. Men are often seen as lacking ambition, or if they have ambition, it's selfish ambition, right? Men are seen as lacking confidence, deeply insecure. They have a lack of self-control and are very pleasure-led by pleasure. This is why men are seen as womanizers or violent or independent, right? And this is what we see of a lot of men in the world today. And a lot of these things is what's considered glorified among young men.
Yeah.
Right? The young men even grow up, say, looking up to some of these traits in the older guys that they're looking up to. Mm-hmm. And so this causes a lot of the problems. I think along with that is how men are depicted in media, right? It is so hard to find a show or a movie where there is a strong example of an adult male to look up to. I think in cartoons and in different movies, Chelsea and I are finally watching Stranger Things. We just started season one. We just finished season one, which has been great. But I'm just watching these families and the dad is just totally like oblivious. Yeah. Like, he's, like, hardly, like, there's an issue going on with the kid, and he comes over and is like, I'm watching TV, and shuts the door,
right,
you know, and there's other scenes where, like, oh, he's fine, honey, and, like, not engaging, and, you know, when they finally find him at the end, the mom is, like, rushing to help her kid, and the dad is just kind of, like, standing there,
right.
And, but this is, like, so normal to see men are depicted in many media as out of touch, disengaged, sitting on the couch, drinking a beer, watching the game. Right, drunk, not paying attention, shallow, fools like Peter Griffin, just idiots, you know? Men are seen as immature, irresponsible, dangerous, lazy, violent, right? This is how the media depicts men, and it doesn't help what we grew up seeing as our example and growing into.
Right.
You know, there's, on top of all that, a lack of healthy father figures invested in raising up young men to become those strong character men. And that's who God's calling you to become as you get older, is those types of dads who will do that. And so the result of all of this, and this is huge to swallow, but the result of this is that we have many, many boys that age physiologically into adulthood, but really are still just adult adolescents and aren't really becoming men and what men are supposed to be. What God has called men to be. And the picture is not a whole lot different in the church. I think that if we're honest, there's a lot to look up to in the women and a lot to imitate in them. You know, I think women are more likely to volunteer, to serve, to give. Women are a lot more likely to want to lead. Our internships and leadership programs have a lot more women that apply than men.
Wow.
Women are often more responsive and engaged after a lesson. Hey, who wants to share something? There's three or four women for every one guy that'll speak up and share something that God moved them with. I don't know if that's a lack of courage, if it's insecurity, if it's cowardice, or if it's just a shallow heart. But wherever the reason, women are more responsive, more engaged. We see them having tight relationships and their vulnerability and their openness with each other. And women are known for having a deep love for God, and I think we need to make sure that we don't let that become a gender thing, that, oh yeah, women just have a deeper love for God. Well, why? And why can't men have a deeper love for God? When we look at the Bible, who are the, like, men are so much, I mean, women too, but men have deep love for God. Jesus was a man.
Hello.
He had a deeper love for God than anybody.
Yeah.
You know, we don't know that, need to let that be a women culture thing. That should be a man and woman,
yeah, come on, bro,
culture thing. And, you know, just numerically, there's more women. Women are converting more women than the men are converting men to Jesus. More women are compelled to bring people to their God than men are compelled to bring people to their Lord. And so I think we see women leading in that as well. And so in the world and in the church, there's a deep need for men who will excel, who will push further than you're pushing right now. Men who will really commit,
yeah,
who will give themselves, who will be faithful, who are going to help carry the church, but also carry society forward. Mm. You know, when I look at the world, I don't feel too hopeful about the future of things. But we should look at the church and feel hopeful about the future of things.
Amen.
Right? Because the Spirit is here with us. Jesus is here with us. We need to be the ones who carry society to a better place. That the world starts to see some shimmer of light and they go, well, what is that light? And they get closer and they realize, oh, it's Christians.
Yeah.
And instead of Christians being the laughingstock of the world, we could be true Christians and be the light of the world, right? And people could get closer and go, well, where are these strong men coming from? Oh, they're coming from the church. They're coming from Jesus. And so we need you. We need me to be men who commit to righteousness, who commit to being ambitious, but not selfish ambition, who commit to being strong, wholehearted, becoming Jesus-like fathers, husbands, brothers, leaders, examples for the other people around you. And like I said, this is in no way in a competition to women. Okay. Women are not our competitors. They are our complements, right? They are our partners. This is meant to be a partnership. And the reality is, in our world, unfortunately, women have had to be fighting an uphill battle for a very long time.
Yeah.
They weren't even able to vote until like 70 or 80 years ago. Like, if you think about that, women have had a large uphill battle in the jobs that were available, the culture stereotypes of them attending school or having certain jobs, and the fact that we still haven't had a woman president. And there's all of these things that we can look at as a reality of, okay, women have been fighting an uphill battle. What has that resulted in? Instead of them backing down, they've kicked it up.
Yeah.
And so they are excelling. And I think instead of us seeing them as competitors, we need to see them as an inspiration and go, okay, amen, sis, amen, woman,
yeah,
cheer them on, root them on, but say, well, let's not shrink back as the men in society. Let's not shrink back as the men in church. The women need strong men to lead with them, to partner with them, to raise families with them. It's not it's not like the men had their turn and now it's the women. It's, we need to do this together.
Right.
That was always the plan. In Genesis 1:27, God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female. He created them. And so men and women are both equally made in the image of God. Not one more than the other, not one without the other. We're made to complement each other.
Come on, bro.
But the reality is, we are different. Men and women are not the same. There are these two different genders God created, and just these two genders, and you're a male or a female, and God has called you, if you are male, which all of us here are, to be a man of God.
Yeah.
And that means something, that there's something there special that the world won't have without you. And when women aren't valued and aren't able to fulfill their role, the world is lacking something. And fortunately, they're more and more getting those opportunities and need to keep doing so.
Yeah.
But the world will also be lacking something without strong men, without strong charactered men and godly men. Does that make sense?
Come on, bro. Yeah.
And so I think what we need to do is really try to tap into being the kind of men that God created us to be. And I really believe that you, me, all of us will thrive the most in life when we tap into healthy, godly manhood. When you wake up and you're living as a healthy, godly man, I think that's when you'll feel like, I'm firing on all cylinders.
Come on.
This is how I was made to live. And what does that look like? It doesn't look like, it doesn't look like toxic masculinity, right? It doesn't look like you waking up and being like, you know, I push people around, I get my way, you know, like,
come on, Derek.
It does not look like when the world thinks like, oh, manhood, right? It's not you having, you know, bigger muscles than the guy next to you, right? It's not you being prideful or not willing to cry or whatever. When I think about, well, what does it mean to be a healthy, godly man? Here's some of the words that come to mind for me. It's a man living with purpose, with security, and not an insecure mess. A man living secure in who God made them to be, their identity in God. It's a man living with strength of character. And also strength of body, who takes good care of himself and is healthy. Yeah. You know, it's a man living with integrity, who does the right thing and isn't hiding things and afraid of being caught about something. But a man of God is a man with integrity, who has nothing to hide. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of strength in that.
Come on.
A man who lives for honor and says, I go higher. I do the right things. I live for honor. A man who lives for adventure, who doesn't just hide away in their house and waste their life and look back at a year and say, well, what did I really accomplish? What did I grow in? That's not biblical manhood. Biblical manhood craves adventure, battle, growth. Do something with my hands. Get busy. Make a difference. Work. That's part of biblical manhood. Meaningful work.
Come on.
And a big part of it, too, I think, is brotherhood. And not living life independent and isolated, but living life on a team. And so God is calling you and me to be mighty men of God because the world needs it and because the church needs it. And the question is, will you step up to it?
Come on.
Will you step up to become a mighty man of God or become an adult teenager? And I hope that you'll decide to become a mature, mighty man of God. You know, I want to read 1 Chronicles chapter 11 about David's mighty men. You know, David is referred to as a man after God's own heart. And he became Israel's greatest king in so many ways. And here's the thing, is he didn't do it by himself. He did it with a team of more than 30 men who were called his mighty men.
Love it.
And these were the guys that helped him become successful. And there's three passages in the Bible that describe these mighty men. And I'm not going to read all of them because they're a little bit long. But if you want to go back and read the other two, then I totally encourage you to do so. The other two that I'm not going to read are 1 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 1 to 18. 1 Chronicles 12, verse 1 to 18. And 2 Samuel chapter 23, verses 8 to 23.
Nice.
And these are just awesome stories about these mighty men of God. And you'll get a little taste of what those passages look like from the one I am going to read, 1 Chronicles 11. And you know, in 1 Chronicles chapter 11, you know, starting in verse 1, it talks about David and Israel coming together and people starting to rally around him. And in verse 10, it gets to describing these men that surrounded David. And, you know, and these are the kind of men that are lifted up in the Bible as, in a lot of ways, examples of being courageous, strong men.
Amen.
Today. And so let's read 1 Chronicles 11, verse 10 to 26 together. It says, these were the chiefs of David's mighty men. They, together with all Israel, gave his kingship strong support to extend it over the whole land,
nice,
as the Lord has promised. This is the list of David's mighty men. And guys, look, there are incredible things God wants to do through the New Jersey campus and through the men in the New Jersey campus ministry. But just like David could not and did not accomplish those victories of expanding Israel by himself, Matt cannot do this by himself.
That's right.
Right? Derek cannot do this by himself. No one can do this by themselves. Right? Matt shared about how I led our New Jersey campus and got to see it grow from 8 to over 80, and that's true. But I did it with a group of mighty men.
That's right.
With Matt, with Mark, with Charles, with Kyrie, with Daryl as a shepherd, you know, with there was a team of men, Vinny. I mean, you guys know some of these guys, but I did not do this in any way by myself.
Right.
And so as much as David was needed, his mighty men were needed.
Amen.
And Matt could get out there and grind the pavement and sweat blood and tears, but if he does not have some mighty men at his back, he's wasting his time.
That's right.
Wow. Maybe not wasting your time, just setting a good example, and God can still use you. Right? And it started with David going out by himself and conquering Goliath.
Yeah.
So keep doing it. But right? But just like David had his mighty men, that's what you guys need to be.
Come on, Rob.
It says Joshabim. There we go. Joshabim, a Hakmonite, was chief of the officers. He raised his spear against 300 men whom he killed in one encounter.
Omar.
That's got to be Taj. Yeah, no, that could be Taj. Next to him was Eleazar. Oh, that's Taj. Son of Dodai, the Ahite. One of the three mighty men. He was with David at Pasdamim, where the Philistines gathered there for battle. At a place where there was a field full of barley, the troops fled from the Philistines. Right? So everybody ran away from the enemy. But they took their stand in the middle of the field. They defended it and struck the Philistines down, and the Lord brought about a great victory. Three of the 30 chiefs came down to David to the rock at the cave of Adullam, while a band of Philistines was encamped in the valley of Rephaim. At that time, David was in the stronghold, and the Philistine garrison was at Bethlehem. David longed for water and said, "Oh, that someone would get me a drink of water from the well near the gate of Bethlehem." So the three broke through the Philistine lines, drew water from the well near the gate of Bethlehem, and carried it back to David. But he refused to drink it. Instead, he poured it out before the Lord. "God forbid that I should do this," he said. "Should I drink the blood of these men who went at the risk of their lives? Because they risked their lives to bring it back, David would not drink it." Interesting story, but let's not miss what happened. Three guys heard David say, "I'm thirsty and I missed the water from Bethlehem." And they said, "Let's sneak into enemy territory and go get him some."
Wow.
I mean, we're talking about bravery, risk, loyalty,
come on,
brotherhood, to serve. And then David pours it out. Why? Not to waste these guys, but out of respect, appreciation, loyalty, honor back. Like, how could I drink this? They just risked their lives to serve me. Such were the exploits of the three mighty men. Abishai, the brother of Joab, in verse 20, was chief of the three. He raised his spear against 300 men whom he killed, and so he became as famous as the three. He was doubly honored above the three and became their commander, even though he was not included among them. Benai, son of Jehoiada, was a valiant fighter from Kabzeel who performed great exploits. He struck down two of Moab's best men. He also went down into a pit on a snowy day and killed a lion. I don't know why, for bragging rights. Maybe it was a threat. Maybe it was a dare. I don't know, but he was brave. He was strong. And he struck down an Egyptian who was 7.5 feet tall. Although the Egyptian had a spear like a weaver's rod in his hand, Benaiah went against him with a club.
Dang.
He snatched the spear from the Egyptian's hand and killed him with his own spear. Such were the exploits of Benaiah, son of Jehoiada. He too was as famous as the three mighty men. He was held in greater honor than any of the 30. But he was not included among the three, and David put him in charge of his bodyguard. The mighty men were Asahel, the brother of Joab, Elhanan, son of Dodo from Bethlehem, Shammath, the Hararite, right? And then it goes on to name every single one of these guys by name listed in the Bible, right? These were King David's mighty men. Do you want to go to battle with these guys?
Heck yes.
Right? Do you want a movie about these guys?
Yes.
Yeah. You know, a series, right?
So cool.
Right? These guys were incredible.
Yeah.
Right? They were epic. And you got to just go back and read those other two passages and hear the words used about them. Valiant, honor, you know, fight, and brother. Like, just they were such mighty men. And it doesn't even say men of God. It says they were King David's mighty men. And here's the thing I really want to make clear to you guys is just like Israel, God's Old Testament people needed men like this to conquer their physical battles in the Old Testament times, so still today, God needs mighty men like this in his new spiritual kingdom of people, because we are still in a battle. right? They were in a physical battle then, but today we are in a spiritual battle. And it doesn't take long to look at the world, to even look at the church sometimes and realize, man, we are in a battle. We are in a fight for righteousness, for Jesus, for purity, for integrity, for family, right? We are in a spiritual battle. And these are the kind of men that are still needed today, still needed now. But here's the thing is now King Jesus is our leader, not King David. And as great as King David was, King Jesus is even better. Amen. And how awesome that instead of being mighty, I'm not sitting here tonight saying, guys, be mighty men of David. What we're saying is, hey, be mighty men of King Jesus.
Amen.
An even higher calling, an even more noble task. Now I want to share with you guys three areas I want you to focus on this summer in becoming mighty men of God. And these are just going to be three quick points that you're going to have to spend more time yourself on all of these. And maybe it's one of these more than the others. Maybe it's two. Maybe it's all three. But three things to help you become a mighty man of God. One is godly character. Right? You can't be a man like this and be spineless.
Ooh.
And be shallow. You've got to have character. Right? You've got to have depth. You know, they were fighting to establish God's kingdom. They were fighting for God's honor. They weren't fighting for some shallow cause or no cause or just for blood. They were fighting for God, for his honor, right? For God's king, King David. And so they had this character of purpose, what they were fighting for, driving them. You know, and guys, the reality is, you know, if you go read chapter 12, verses 1 to 18, it talks about these guys that were able to shoot arrows left-handed and right-handed. Mm. You know, and look, you're not able to do some of the stuff these guys did without going into serious training. You know, it takes training to become a mighty man of God. And training takes character because training isn't easy. It takes getting back up. It takes discipline. It takes perseverance, right? It took immense training to be able to do what they did. You know, there's this guy Eleazar talked about here, and it tells his story in more detail in the other passages I mentioned, but I love what it says about him in one. It says that everybody deserted, but he stayed and fought until his hand froze to the sword. And that's character to me, that he didn't let go. He didn't drop it. He fought until his hand was frozen to the sword. Like, that's character. Somebody who doesn't give up, but fights until their hand freezes to the sword. You know, this guy Shammat mentioned, where it says everyone fled, but he stayed his ground and defeated the Philistines. That's perseverance. You know, and our fight is not physically with swords and people's lives, but our fight is with sin. It's with sin in our own lives. It's with helping people with sin in their life. Our fight is with advancing God's kingdom, establishing righteousness, being a light to the world. And it takes mighty men of strength and godly character to fight that battle. That's what it's going to take. And so growing in godly character means growing in being a man that is spiritual and righteous, a man who does what pleases God, who seeks to please God, who lives with integrity and does the right thing. That's a man of godly character. Are you that kind of man who says, you know what? When people are looking or when people aren't looking, I do the right thing. Because Jesus is always looking. Amen. And I'm looking to please him. You know, a man of godly character, right, you think about a character, a movie, a game. What character are you going to be? You're talking about who they are, their identity, right? Who are they? And it talks about these guys, what family they were from, what tribe they were from, or different things like that. And here's the thing, guys, is part of being a godly man is having a strong sense of identity. Who are you? And the answer to that being, I'm a son of God. I'm a brother of Jesus. I'm a disciple of Jesus. I am part of God's kingdom. And that you don't go through life with what men in the world do, which is insecurity, worried about who am I? What do people think of me? Are they making fun of me? Did I not do this good enough? Did I not do that good enough? But you have a strong sense of identity that God loves you. You have his grace. He's proud of you. He's qualified you. He wants to use you. He approves of you. And that's your character. Amen. That's who you are. Yeah. And so you walk with security, not in yourself, but in God and who he sees you as, that you are clothed with Christ. No man of godly character is a man of discipline. You don't sleep in till 10 o'clock and stay up till 2 on YouTube. You know, you go to bed all because right. You got something to wake up for. You got stuff to do.
Wow.
You're disciplined. You're not wasting your one life God gave you. But you have discipline. You say, I'm here to do something. I'm in a battle. I'm not staying back in the shed ashamed. I'm getting out there with everybody. You know, and so discipline, self-control. And I will say part of that is your health, your sleep, your diet, your exercise, taking care of yourself. It's easier to be disciplined when you're healthy than when you're unhealthy.
Yeah.
Right? And this is not body shaming. This is just human health. It's taking care of yourself, and it affects us emotionally, mentally. Guys, I could speak as somebody who's fluctuated way too much. And when I'm in shape, I do better in every other way than when I'm overweight and out of shape right. and not exercising. We're spiritual beings, and it's all connected, you
right.
know?
That's right.
And so that's part of it. And just along with godly character is being somebody who perseveres. Your hand freezes to the sword. You don't quit. You don't shrink back. You don't give up. You don't stop coming when school gets hard. You don't stop wow. coming to Devo yeah. when you're tired. You don't stop showing up on campus because you're tired. Like, you persevere. You push. You show up. You endure. You suffer. And so God wants to shape us from worldly, selfish, comfortable character people to strong character people.
Oh, Rob.
Second quality is godly campaigns. And so we talked about godly character, but I also see here godly campaigns, right? It talks about their exploits. Such were the exploits. And, you know, maybe God is writing down how we're living. I don't know.
Wow.
But maybe we'll get to heaven and he'll continue to share about the church throughout the last 2,000 years. And when he gets to your name and he talks about your life and he shares about it, and then he says, such were the exploits of Derek. Such were the exploits of Daniel. Like, what do you want that to be? You know, what do you want your life to accomplish for God's glory? Godly campaigns. Things you set out to do. God, I'm going to do this for you. Maybe it's things in your walk with him. I'm going to pray for an hour every day this summer. I'm going to fast once a week to grow my purity. Amen. I'm going to learn how to disciple somebody else so I can help the next young Christian that gets baptized.
Come on.
I'm going to learn how to start a Bible talk at my school. I'm going to learn how to study the Bible with people, and I'm going to lead a study this summer.
Nice.
Right? I don't know what it is, but maybe it's I'm going to share with 50 people this week. Mm-hmm. Right? But you start having some godly campaigns. Right? It might be things like Daryl deciding to use his gift to try to design an anime that reflects some of the biblical story to draw people to God. Like, that's a godly campaign. You know, it might be me deciding I'm going to do devotionals with my kids every week to help influence them spiritually. And that's a campaign. You know, and it might be a serving campaign. I'm going to start serving the poor every Saturday at this place or whatever it is, but deciding I'm going to do something.
Yeah.
I'm not going to do nothing, you know? And you don't want it to get to you and go, Rob Novak of the City Campus Ministry, such were his exploits. Nothing, you know? Like, no, we want to do something for God. I think that's part of being a man, is looking back at the work and being like, no, I got to be part of building this. And there's a lot of value in that. And even your career and your schoolwork and doing that in a way that honors God and lifting God up for the grades you get. Not cheating all semester when everyone else did. Graduating, you know, when no one else in your family has yet or you wanted to quit. Being the best employee at your job.
Come on.
And not cheating or not doing things behind the boss's back like other people do. Not lying about your, you know, things at work, whatever. But you honor God. That's a godly campaign. But man, 1 Chronicles 12:8 says, they were brave warriors, ready for battle, and able to handle the shield and spear. Their faces were the faces of lions. They were as swift as gazelles in the mountains. You know, I mean, just these descriptions. Figure out what would this look like spiritually today for you? You know, to be a man who's filled with the Spirit, really living to bring victory for
Amen.
God. You know, I think about, you know, our spiritual battle. And the reality is we have a mission to conquer people's souls from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light, right? We get to live lives that hopefully are a light to others and draw people to God and then help really battle Satan's grip on them to help bring them into Jesus's grip on their lives. But the reality is mighty men of God are people who go make something happen.
Yeah.
You know, there's this quote that I really like I read recently, and it said, "The safest place for ships is in the harbor, but that's not why ships are built."
Right.
And it's about getting out of your comfort zone. It's about taking risk. It's about not being comfortable. And here's the thing that you guys need to understand is people that really make a difference, unless they're just a little crazy, it's not that they don't have fear. It's that they have enough drive and purpose and courage to push through the fear to do what needs to be done anyway. You know, I'm still scared to public speak. I sat here before I started nervous. And it's not like, oh, well, once I'm not nervous, then I'll do the midweek lesson. Well, then I'll never do it. Wow. When I'm not nervous, I'll start sharing my faith on campus. When I'm not nervous, were you nervous this week, Daniel?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But he pushed through that because he wanted to honor God. He wanted to have compassion on others. And so it's, you know, ships weren't made to stay where it's safe. They were made to voyage.
Come on, Rob.
And you weren't given the spirit to play it safe.
Amen.
You were given the spirit of power, love, and self-discipline to go do some godly campaign. To go make something happen. Amen. So let's be ambitious and passionate. Let's be bold and courageous. Let's be difference makers. You know, let's set some goals for our lives. What for the summer, for this week. What do you want to accomplish? What's a few things you want to do? Maybe make it in a few different characters. Categories. Like, okay, one goal for my walk with God. One goal for the mission. One goal for using my gifts. One goal for school. One goal for my health, one goal for helping our ministry. You know, and think about, well, what's one goal I could have in each of these? Maybe with the ministry, it's I'm going to pray every day for 3 different people so that by the end of the week, I've prayed for every brother in our ministry.
Wow, love
it. You know, for your health, maybe it's I'm going to exercise 4 days this week.
Nice.
You know, maybe for school, it's, you know, I'm going to study like I'm saying I'm supposed to. Yeah, whatever, right? But just having some goals for these different areas. And then hitting those goals. And when you don't hit those goals, not wallowing in insecurity, but accepting God's grace and saying, you know what, at least I tried to do something. Appreciate the victories you did have. And the next week, set a different goal and go for that, you know. But godly campaigns are part of being a mighty man of God. And lastly, is a godly company. A mighty man of God is not one by themselves, but in a team. And I love that it lists all of their names in here. And
nice.
I just think that tells you that every person matters. And being on a team like this matters.
Amen.
And you guys being in this together matters. He was one of the 3. He was one of the 30. Who are you one of? Are you one of 1? Or are you one of 3? Are you one of 7? Are you one of 10? Do you live as a one of 1? You're kind of lone ranger? Or do you live on a team? Because a man of God has godly company. You know, and that's such a big part of being men the way that God made us to be. It is not good for man to be alone. You know, that's how it started in Genesis chapter 1. And having good relationships with the sisters, right? And having spiritual, godly relationships with the women, but also having awesome, even closer relationships with the brothers. Unless you're married, the person you're closest to should be a brother. That you've got brotherhood. Man. Like David had Jonathan, you know, and he had the rest of his mighty men. You've got brothers you're doing life with who know everything about you, everything you're going through. You talk to every day that you're doing life with a company of brothers. Guys who are your best friends, who you have fun with, who you go on those campaigns with. You pray for each other. You're vulnerable with each other. You challenge each other. You speak the truth to each other. You call each other out. You forgive each other. You work together. You you bear with each other. You're patient with each other. You spur each other on. You encourage each other. You serve each other. You fight for each other. This is the kind of relationships that a godly man needs to have. And so we need to lean on these kind of relationships. I'm so grateful for all of those men I get to do life with and that I have gotten to do life with. And it's really what makes me feel like my life is full and my life is secure, is these godly men that I feel like I have as my support. Just like it said, these guys supported David. And so that one was super short, but how's your godly company? Do you have one? You know, me, I'm so grateful that I became a Christian, because I would be sitting here as a 32-year-old grown-up child. That is definitely the road I was headed on. I was an adult, living very pleasure-driven. I lied a lot. I cheated. I did not do the hard things. I took the comfortable, easy way. I was very uncommitted, terrible in relationships. I had bad grades, and I cheated, which didn't make sense, but I had no self-control. I stole things that I wanted. I lied at work. When the boss wasn't looking, I didn't work well. I mean, it just, but this was as an adult. This is who I was becoming, and I'm so glad that God intervened and said, no, I made you to be a man of God. I made you to be somebody else, and I definitely still have ways to grow and see ways that my spirit, my sinful nature still wants to come out. But I get to sit here today. I've been a Christian for 12 years.
Nice.
I have never contemplated walking away from God. Have I struggled? Yes. But I've persevered. I've made it 12 years. I'm a faithful husband. I'll be married to Chelsea for 10 years this January. I've never flirted with another woman. I've never talked with another woman behind her back. Mm. I've not cheated on her. I will cheat on her. I'm a faithful husband. I'm raising two boys together that I hope and pray every day that I'm raising to become godly men themselves one day, but pouring myself into them. And I will say that people in my family and some of my neighbors spend time around my kids and compliment that my kids are different, that my family seems different. And that's something Chelsea and I are doing, but only because of God.
Right.
And only because of who God has helped me and her to become. I've been able to help many men become disciples.
That's right.
Not because I'm a leader, not because I'm in the ministry, not because I'm special, but because I've poured myself out for the mission and to serve others. You know, and been able to raise up other people to become leaders like Matt and others. I've gotten to be a big brother to many sisters like Brielle and Shauna and different people that I feel like they're my real sister. Like, these are like dear sisters that I've just been able to be a great brother to them and them be great sisters back. I graduated without cheating with a 3.85 GPA.
Nice.
I'd like to say that I'm sitting here as a dad without a dad bod. I'm trying to take care of myself and stay fit and keep my wife excited, you know, keeping it real. But I look at how I used to steal and different stuff like that. And now I look at, well, man, I'm managing our finances well. We're going to be able to retire one day. We're able to buy a house. We're able to take care of our family without stress. And that's all as a minister when I could be making a whole lot more money doing something else. But God has taught me how to be a godly man who manages my finances and household well. And I'm saying all this to say, this is all God working in me and the way that God can work in you. Mm-hmm. You know, setting out on godly campaigns. And guys, I gotta set out on some new ones. And I feel like there's different things I'm thinking about. But different times, like deciding, you know what? I'm going to share my faith with 1,000 people in 3 days.
Come on now.
And doing that back in 2018. And that was probably one of the hardest things I've ever done. And it took everything I had in me and a whole lot more from God. So, you know, and before that, there was other goals like 1,000 in a week or, you know, 500 people in a week or different things like that. But that was a campaign. That was an exploit.
Yeah.
You know, and, things like all night prayer nights. And I've done that before. I fasted for 3 days, no food, literally just water for 3 days one time to start a Bible talk, you know. And so doing something like that. I did start a Bible talk at my school as a baby Christian. I was a, you know, 2-month-old Christian. I started a Bible talk at my school. Then Sanchez became a Christian.
Come on now.
He's in New Jersey, if you know him. As a baby Christian, I said, I'm going to memorize all the verses in the study series. And I set out and I did that. You know, and so these are some of my different campaigns. And I need to set out for some more. But how did I do that? How did I become a man of God and all of these different things? And I think it was those three things. Developing godly character.
Yeah.
Setting a high bar for myself because of who God calls me to be and who God made me to be. Godly nice. Campaigns. And because of living in a throng of godly men. Being in godly company, godly brotherhood, and having guys that I looked up to and who challenged me and helped me and encouraged me and picked me back up when I fell and spurred me on. And so I hope this inspired you guys. I hope you see the need. But there is a very real need in the world and in the church, in this ministry, for you guys to rise up and become men of God.
Amen.
And I would set before you to use this summer as a really intentional focus time to decide, I'm going to grow up and become a man of God. I'm going to focus on my character, some campaigns, and some godly company, and really go after those things.
Love it.
And so so I'm excited to see what God does through you guys. I want to share with you in a second an idea I thought we could do together, but let's rise up and be mighty men of God. Amen?
Come on.
Amen.
Thank you guys. Oh, boy, I'm sorry. Hey,
let's go, Olive. Mighty woman. We got the one girl up here. So something I thought would be cool for you guys to do, you know how we read kind of these little short paragraphs about some of these guys and what they did? And it'd say like, hey, this guy, everybody else fled, but he stayed and fought and they won or whatever. Mm-hmm. I thought it'd be really cool for you guys to maybe take like 3 or 4 minutes right now and on your phone or in your notebook, write a like 2 or 3 sentence blurb about yourself that you'd like to see happen this summer.
Nice.
Does that make sense? Yep. So it's visionary, but to write it in third person. So, you know, write like Taj from the Montclair State University. Set out to blah, blah, blah. Maybe it's something with purity. Maybe it's something with the brothers. Maybe it's something with your prayer life. Maybe it's 2 things, right? But to think about, man, what are 1 or 2 things I want to grow in or accomplish or set out to do this summer? And to write a little blurb about yourself. And then maybe in like 3 or 4 minutes, a few of you could read them. Does that sound good?
Come on. Sounds good.